Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
All right, we're one day into the draft. John Schmelk, Tony Pauline. This is draft season. Night one is in the books, and an eventful one. And Tony, going into this, we said this would be one of the most unpredictable drafts in years. And at least in my opinion, I think it fit the bill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Will Levis still on the board, although he was my 37th ranked prospect. I never believed in Will Levis. Joey Porter still on the board. A lot of questionable or surprise picks, if you will, on the defensive side of the ball, more than anything else, as far as I'm concerned.
And Tony, Michael Mayer still on the board. Brian Branch still on the board. Two very good players, in my opinion. And then you look at some of the guys that went early. And I think for everyone, we didn't know what was going to happen at pick two. Do you have any intel? Like, did Houston, were they just like playing games with people? Was this really a thing that they were down to the wire on? Do you know how they wound up on CJ Stroud?
Well, no, I don't. But I'll tell you this. What I had been reporting was they were going to take the defensive player at two, and then they could trade back into the top 10 to get CJ Stroud. That's what I reported earlier in the day. They basically just flipped it around.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud at two, and then they moved back in to get the defensive player, Will Anderson. I think what happened was, I think it's a compromise in that front office because you got Nick Cesario and D'Amico Ryan, and D'Amico Ryan has got a lot of power in there. So I think it was a compromise between the two for a team that's got a lot of draft capital, team that's got a lot of needs to say, listen, D'Amico, we will make you happy by getting that potentially great impact defensive player. And Nick Cesario, general manager, who's basically hanging on a string, got what he hopes is going to be the Texans quarterback of the future.
Yeah, and Tony, I thought to move up for a non-quarterback, it was a steep price, man. I mean, you traded a one this year, a one and a two and a three combined this year and next year. It was a lot. I know it's a 10-spot move. It's a big move. I get it, but it's not for a quarterback. And I know the Cardinals was 9-pick move. The Cardinals had trouble finding a trade partner. I thought that was a very steep price.
I don't, only because of the player, only because I'm a Will Anderson fan. I remember you work for the Giants. I mean, the days that teams wanted that impact defensive player. And I think that that's exactly what Will Anderson is. And they had a lot. I mean, they're still, even though they traded a first-round pick and some extra selections, they still have a first-round pick in 2024 because of the Deshaun Watson trade.
Colts go Anthony Richardson instead of Will Levis, Tony. Did that surprise you?
No. I think what surprised me was I was dumb enough to buy into the hype. They were going to take Will Levis over Anthony Richardson. When you break it down, Anthony Richardson is the perfect quarterback for that coach. That coach who basically helped develop Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen Hurts has a lot more going on between the ears, or a bigger body of work than Anthony Richardson, but he's not as big. He's not as athletic. He's not as explosive. So, you know, when there was talk about Will Levis going four, I just didn't see it because I thought Richardson was the better fit for that coach and for that offense. I just stupidly didn't hold my ground, and I followed along with the rest of the sheep.
Yeah, absolutely. Devon Witherspoon, 5th to Seattle, Tony. You know, not surprised by the player. I think he's worth that pick, but he just doesn't fit the Seattle mold for a corner. You know what I mean? Usually they like the big, long guys. Witherspoon's not that.
They wanted to trade down. I think what happened was is they wanted to trade down. they were concerned about taking Jalen Carter and giving $30 million. I reported both of those things. Anthony Richardson was off the board. I guess they were not happy with the medicals on Tyree Wilson. So that's the direction they went.
Yeah, we talked about Paris Johnson. The Cardinals do two moves to get up and select him. Not a surprise. Then Tyree Wilson to the Raiders at number 7. And then Bijan Robinson to 8 to the Falcons, Tony. Anything jump out to you from those three?
Well, obviously Tyree Wilson, I think, slid a little bit further than many thought because of the medicals, which were a big concern for a lot of people. Paris Johnson, I had the Arizona Cardinals taking him, but I had him taking him at 3. They got him at 6 after a bit of maneuvering, and they come away with a potentially great left tackle and extra draft capital. Bijan Robinson, I think it's a natural fit. I think he's going to make Desmond Ridder a better quarterback. You know, he's a dynamic running back prospect. And even though they say that the position is devalued, he's one of the top 3 players in this draft.
Yeah, no, we're going to rapid fire these selections here, folks. We'll have more podcasts next week talking about how draft classes impact teams and kind of all that sort of thing. So we'll do more in depth on some of these picks as we move ahead later in the week. And of course, we'll have a draft wrap up too over the weekend, just FYI. Then the Eagles, because they're the Eagles, they move up only one spot and they get probably the most talented player in this draft in Jalen Carter, Tony. And then I'll pair it with Nolan Smith, who they got at 30. Basically, they got the two best defensive players off the best defense in college football the last 2 years. Not a bad day at the office for Howie Roseman, huh?
No, not at all. And I mean, they're going mortar with 3-4, so it's a natural fit with Carter in a 3-man front and Nolan Smith, who, in my opinion, was probably selected 15 picks later than he deserved to be. We've talked about him going back to September. So, yeah, I mean, you know, a year ago we were talking about what a great job the Eagles did getting Jordan Davis in round 1, making the trade for A.J. Brown. They go back to the well in Athens, Georgia, and pluck 2 more great defensive players.
And they got N'Kobe Dean, too, right? So it's just guys coming in from the SEC left and right. Darnell Wright to the Bears after they swapped the 9th and 10th picks, Tony. They have faith in their 5th-round rookie left tackle that's on that team, right? So they wanted a guy to play the right side. Darnell Wright's the guy. Skoronski to the Titans and a little bit of a offensive line run there. And then I think probably the biggest surprise, not that he was a first-round pick. I think we thought Jahmyr Gibbs could go in the first round, but 12, I think, was a little surprising.
I knew Detroit liked him. I thought what Detroit may do is trade down from 18 to take Gibbs or maybe move up from the 2nd round. But I agree. Take it, you know, first they make the good trade. They trade from 6 to 12. Although I think it was a surprise because we thought that at that point, Devin Witherspoon was off the board. And then they're sitting there at 12 and you're saying Christian Gonzalez and they take Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah, I mean, I like the player. I knew the team liked the player, but I taking him probably 10 picks earlier than anyone thought was a major surprise.
Yeah, but they have and then they picked up extra draft capital to the Lions. I think they have, 5 picks in the first 55 selections after their trade down from number 6. So they have a lot of draft capital still to come for the Lions here as they move forward in the draft. Then we had a little bit of a back and forth. Lucas Van Ness to the Packers. They still don't pick an offensive player. They picked a pass rusher. You're shaking your head. I laughed when I saw it too. Then the Steelers move ahead of the Jets to get the last really starting caliber offensive tackle, at least walk-in starter in this draft, Roderick Jones. And then the Jets, they seem to be a little indecisive in deciding what they wanted to do there, and they wind up with Will McDonald.
Well, I mean, you know, the Packers are just allergic to drafting pass catchers in the first round. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has got to be laughing. He's got to be shaking his head on one end because, you know, again, the Packers really don't need a pass rusher. We saw this a couple of years ago with Rashawn Gary. You know, the New England Patriots trade down. They let the Pittsburgh Steelers trade up, and they basically, you know, kicked the New York Jets in the ribs by taking Broderick Jones, the left tackle needy New York Jets. The Steelers get a great potential or a real good potential left tackle to protect the blind side of Kenny Pickett. And you're right. I mean, the Jets took a lot of time off the clock. I don't know if they were trying to trade the pick. I don't know if they were just stunned by what happened. But, you know, Jackson Smith and the Jigba was still there. They needed another receiver. I'm wondering what kind of trade options they had, if they had any trade options. But Yeah, I mean, Will McDonald is a good pick at number 28 or 29 or the top of round two. I don't know that he's a good pick at number 15. And this is a team that traded back into the first round. They get Jermaine Johnson last year. So very questionable.
Yeah, and then maybe the worst hidden secret, Tony, leading into this day was that the Washington Commanders wanted Emmanuel Forbes. I just didn't know they would want him more than Christian Gonzalez, who had dropped precipitously somehow all the way down to 16, with the Commanders pass on and pick Forbes. And then the Patriots, who had traded down with the Steelers to go to 14 to 17, they just got a fourth round pick. It wasn't a big deal moving down in terms of the capital they got. But boy, they still land Christian Gonzalez at that pick. Bill Belichick must have been thrilled.
He's got to be. And you had mentioned when we did the mock draft on Wednesday that you like Christian Gonzalez, the Patriots at 14. They get him at 17. And I mean, Belichick does a great job with his cornerbacks. Emmanuel Forbes, you know, I'm not sold on him. Great ball skills. I just think that a guy that's 166 pounds, 170 pounds, is going to struggle in the NFL, especially in that defense. I want to see how he holds up in run defense.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you get a little bit of a run here. Jack Campbell, another surprising, not necessarily a first-round pick. I thought he could have been a back-end of the first-round guy. But, boy, 18 to the Lions. But just a Dan Campbell type of player, right? Last name notwithstanding. Buccaneers' Kalijah Kancey. Look, if you're going to get an undersized defensive tackle, Tony, put him next to a monster like Vita Vea. So I think that does make a certain amount of sense there to protect him a little bit. And then Jackson Smith. Then we'll get to the string of wide receivers here in a second, but I thought the Campbell Kancey combination was interesting.
Love the player. I just with Jack Campbell, love the player. I just surprised he went so early. I thought, like you, maybe late first rounder. I had a solid second round grade on him. Kancey, you know, a Tony Dungy, Tampa Bay type of one gap defensive tackle. Again, a little bit early for my likes because he is singularly a one gap. Three technique type of tackle. And I don't know that there was a huge market for that type of player outside of the New Orleans Saints, who ended up taking a bigger tackle. So again, I think maybe they could have, Tampa Bay could have traded down to select them.
Yeah. Interesting. And then you had the wide receiver run. We had gone 19 picks, Tony, without one wide receiver going off the board. Then boom, Seahawks, Smith and Jigba. Boom, Chargers, Quentin Johnson. Boom, Ravens, Zay Flowers. Boom, Vikings, Jordan Addison. Back to back to back to back.
You know, I thought Seattle was going to take a receiver, but I thought maybe in day two they would have taken a receiver. You know, just like with the fifth pick, they took all the time in the world to make this selection, which leads me to believe that they wanted to trade down, which I had heard they had been talking with teams to trade down. But still, I mean, you got DK Metcalf on one side, streaking down the field, running those goal patterns. Then you got Smith Njigba, who is a tremendous route runner, running more of the underneath routes. You're going to make Geno Smith that much more effective. Quentin Johnson for Justin Herbert, you know, very rough around the edges, especially when compared to Quentin Johnson, but has better play speed. He's got better size. He could potentially be the best receiver out of this draft, out of the top tier of receivers, but he's got a ways to go. Jordan Addison, I mean, they needed another receiver there. You know, sort of a smaller version of Jackson Smith Njigba, catches the ball very well. Great route runner, knows how to separate, not a downfield threat. Zay Flowers, I passed up on Zay Flowers. You know, the way the Green Bay Packers are allergic to drafting receivers in the first round, seems like the Baltimore Ravens are addicted to drafting receivers in the first round. I like Zay Flowers. I just don't like the Baltimore Ravens' history at taking receivers in round one.
Yeah, the last smallish wide receiver they took was Marquise Hollywood Brown, right? And that didn't exactly work out for them. He's now, they had to trade him away. So, all right, now we had a couple trades here. The Giants probably, freaking out's the wrong word, but probably like, oh no, our wide receiver list just got liquidated here. But we still have a corner left. We don't want the Jaguars to take him. So let's try to move up. The Jaguars move back one spot. The Giants like Deontay Banks. Good scheme fit. Bump and run corner out of Maryland. I think that fits well. Then the Jaguars move again. The Bills jump the Cowboys, who are rumored to want a tight end. So they grab Dalton Kincaid before the Cowboys select. Then the Cowboys take almost their entire clock, Tony, to make their pick. I thought they were going to go Michael Mayer. They don't. They go your guy, Mazi Smith. The big defensive tackle was just fit a need for them. But I thought that little jiggering of players there from 24 to 26 was interesting.
Yeah, listen, credit to the Giants. I mean, I think that they knew that Jacksonville wanted Deontay Banks. We can get into a minute or two why they didn't. They wanted a bigger corner. I was never under the belief that the Giants were going to take a receiver. I thought that they wanted a bigger corner. And I think that the Giants didn't believe that any of these top corners were going to fall down. And when they're there, they make the move to get Deontay Banks. They get an outstanding player at the position. They fill a need with a real good player. You know, you mentioned the reason why Buffalo jumped over Dallas to get Dalton Kincaid. Dawson Knox has never really lived up to expectations. Dalton Kincaid is used to playing in the snow. He's a downfield threat at the tight end position. He plays the tight end position like his receiver, really just tapping into the potential that everyone knew we had. Mozzie Smith, I actually thought they were going to draft Nolan Smith and have Micah Parsons and Nolan Smith, you know, running around the middle of the field. Mozzie Smith, he's always been my favorite. I think this is still a little bit early for him. But the fact is, you plug him in the middle, he's going to occupy the gaps. He's a tough, slug it out defensive tackle. I always thought that he was worthy of a late first-round pick. I think it was early, but I am happy to see that he ended up in the late part of round one.
Yeah, and there are a lot of good tight ends still left on the board, just one taken in the first round. So if the Cowboys want to move up to grab a tight end in round two, they probably would be able to do that. If they desire. Now let's run through the last of the picks real quickly here, Tony. Jaguars wanted a tackle to replace Juwan Taylor, who left to the Chiefs in the offseason. They select Anton Harrison. Bengals get a good edge rusher and Miles Murphy, good player. Saints, big surprise, they pick a big defensive lineman. No one should be shocked. Brian Brzee, another one of your guys. Philadelphia Eagles, you mentioned that before, Nolan Smith. Then the Chiefs give Steve Spagnuolo some help. Felix and Adike Uzama. What jumped out of you over those last few?
You know, I think that the Jaguars were basically forced in the position to take a tackle. They lose Juwan Taylor, free agency. Cam Robinson suspended because of the ped use. So, you know, you got your franchise quarterback there who's going to be without any of his starting tackles from last year, the first six games of the year. That's why I think the Jaguars did a good job moving down, getting Anton Harrison. And now they cornered the fifth ground, it seems, with all those picks that they got from moving down. Miles Murphy was an interesting pick. I think it was a value pick. I don't think it was a need pick. They've got good in Hubbard and the other kid that they signed from New Orleans a couple of years ago.
Hendrickson.
From Laurel Atlantic. You know, they've got good pass rushers. I guess you can always use an extra pass rusher. I was surprised they didn't address the offensive line with Matthew Bergeron. I was surprised they didn't look at cornerback. I was surprised they didn't look at tight end. Yeah. And I guess Miles Murphy was just too good of a value to pick up, to pass up. Brian Brzee, I thought it may have been Adebowari at that spot. But, you know, we all forgot about Brian Brzee. He's kind of fallen off the radar. I'm glad to see it. He's a real good player. I thought the Chiefs kind of reached with that last pick. I know he's from Kansas City. I'm sure they were going crazy. He's doing a show I really wasn't watching. He fits a need. He fits the system as an undersized pass rusher. I just thought that I know they've got a lot of picks, and they're not going to be able to use all the players that they select with those picks, but I just think that this was at least a round reach by the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, Tony, before we say goodbye, we'll keep it quick tonight. Just names you're keeping an eye on here at the top of round two that fans should, you know, that maybe some, you know, this is when GMs go home and they're like, oh, wow, look who's still there. Maybe I can make a trade. And, you know, guys get excited. Who are the players that teams might try to go out of the way to try to get here early round two?
Well, you got to be surprised that Joey Porter's still available. You mentioned Michael Mayer, Keon White, who I believe was at the draft tonight, was still there. You still got two quarterbacks there, Will Levis and Hendon Hooker, which I'm surprised about. You got Luke Musgrave, who's still available. Jalin Hyatt, as I mentioned there, DJ Turner. So there's going to be a lot of good players coming off the board at the top of round two.
Yeah, I'll throw a couple out there too. Josh Downs still there, the wide receiver out of North Carolina. Neither guard got taken. Steve Avila and Osiris Torrance both still on the board if you want a guard.
Centers as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
The centers as well.
Yeah, John Michael Schmitz too. Joe Tippmann. Cody Mauch, if you're a big Cody Mauch fan, he's still out there too. Adebare from Northwestern, Keanu Benton from Wisconsin, two big defensive tackles. I mentioned Brian Branch before. I think he's a guy that someone could look at. You know, neither Drew Sanders nor Trenton Simpson went in the first round. Those could be two names people go after. Dewan Jones, you know, I know he, I think his tape was really good, but his offseason was maybe not the best, but I think he's a talented guy. Marvin Mims, I think, and Jalin Hyatt are the other two wide receivers you can talk about. So again, I think you're getting into a good value period here, Tony. You're still in that nice, thick second tier of players here where you can find a real nice player. And I wouldn't be surprised. You saw a lot of trades in round one. I think we're going to see a lot of trades at the start of round two here as teams try to position themselves to get players in this kind of last tier of guys before we get a little bit of a drop off in talent.
A lot of good receivers, a lot of good tight ends still on the board. Brian Branch is still out there, the top safety, slot corner, whatever you want to call him.
Absolutely. Tony, good stuff. We'll catch up again after the draft is over on Saturday night. Everybody, thanks for being with us on draft season. Hope you enjoyed night one of the draft. We will see you next time. Get some rest, and we're at it again tomorrow.